Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Ed Harry. Coming up, Tyson Gay's place at the World Championships is in jeopardy after he pulls out of the 100 at the US trials at Wimbledon.
Match point, Murray. Oh, that's a huge first serve, and somebody in the crowd shouts out, now it's put away for Murray. And he has done it after 2 hours and 56 minutes. For the fourth year in a row, Andy Murray is through to the second week of Wimbledon.
Late-night drama for the home fans as Murray defeats Lubicic, but Roddick and Zvonareva are out. Meanwhile, away from tennis, FIFA voiced their concern over Brazil's preparations for the 2014 World Cup. But we start with athletics. Tyson Gay, the second fastest man in history, has withdrawn from the semi-finals of the 100 metres at the USA's World Championship Trials. He has a hip injury. It means he can't now expect to be selected for that event at the Worlds in Daegu at the end of August. The US has unforgiving selection criteria, picking the first three finishers in each event at their trials in Eugene this weekend. It means that Gay, who holds the year's fastest time and won world silver behind Usain Bolt in 2009, almost certainly won't now be facing the Jamaican in this year's final. Gay, the 2007 world champion for the 100 and the 200, is on the start list for the longer sprint at the trials, but had previously indicated he wouldn't run the 200 as it was more likely to aggravate existing injuries. Elsewhere, the world record holder for the 800 metres, David Rudisha, has clocked the fastest time in the world this year on his return to the track following a three-month absence. The Kenyan won the event at Friday's meeting in Nancy, showing no signs of the tendonitis in his left foot, which had sidelined him since March. He clocked 1 minute 43.46 seconds. Next, news from Wimbledon, where the fourth seed and home favourite Andy Murray is through to the last 16 after a four-set victory over Ivan Lubicic under the lights on centre court. But two former finalists, Andy Roddick and Vera Zvonareva, are out of this year's championships. Watching at the All England Club was the BBC's John Bennett.
Andy Roddick has had many heartbreaking moments on the centre court at Wimbledon, most famously after the 2009 final when he came so close to beating Roger Federer. But this third round defeat against Feliciano Lopez will be a huge blow. Roddick showed early signs of weakness when he lost his serve at a crucial moment in the first set. He broke straight back to level things up, but in the tiebreak, Lopez was outstanding, racing to a 7-2 victory. The tiebreak in the second set also ended 7-2 as Lopez came out on top in all the crucial points. Then, after Roddick lost his serve in the third game of the third set, he looked like a broken man, and victory for Lopez was inevitable. Roddick says that on the day, he lost to the better player.
Yeah, he played well. I got beat. He came out, he served about as well as someone has, and you know, the stuff that's enabled me to beat him, you know, seven times, making him passing shots under duress, making him play defense on his forehand. He did well today. He played an outstanding match.
It wasn't a good day for former finalists, as Vera Zvonareva also went crashing out. The Russian lost to Svetlana Peronkova, who she beat in last year's semi-final. So revenge for the Bulgarian player, whose run to the last four of the championships last year caught many tennis experts by surprise. She was delighted by her victory.
I feel very excited about it. I think I played a great match. And it became a great match for the spectators. It's a huge achievement for me.
That was it for the upsets on day five. There were comfortable wins for world number one Caroline Wozniacki, five-time champion Venus Williams, and the 2007 runner-up, who broke the curse of the finalists to progress to round three with a three-set victory. That was Marion Bartoli. 2004 champion Maria Sharapova had to work harder to win her delayed second-round tie against the popular British teenager Laura Robson. The 17-year-old had a 4-1 lead in the first set, but despite strong support from the home fans, she eventually lost in straight sets in 1 hour and 48 minutes. Sharapova admits it wasn't the perfect performance.
Yeah, I just feel a little bit of everything. You know, I didn't play my best today, and you know, I felt like I, you know, made a few more errors than I had to, and you know, tomorrow's my next match, so it'll be good to come out and hopefully improve those things.
Elsewhere, Andy Murray was roared on by the British fans under the roof, and he booked his place in round four after a tough four-set fight out against the plucky Croatian Ivan Lubicic. Murray eventually took the victory 6-4, 4-6, 6-1, 7-6, after the latest finish to a match in the tournament this year. The world number four kept his supporters on the edge of their seats, particularly in the fourth set tiebreak. But it was a frustrating day for defending men's champion Rafael Nadal. He was pushed all the way in the first set against Gilles Muller of Luxembourg, who is one of the few players to have beaten the Spaniard before at the All England Club. Nadal eventually took it in the tiebreak, but then the rain came, meaning he'll have to wait until Saturday to confirm his place in round four. In fact, a number of matches are unfinished after Friday, including ties involving former Grand Slam winners Juan Martín Del Potro and Francesca Schiavone.
The BBC's John Bennett at Wimbledon. Football's world governing bodies once again expressed concern over the slow pace of Brazil's preparations for hosting the 2014 World Cup. Stadium development plus work on airports and the transport system are lagging well behind schedule. Speaking at the World Football Forum in Moscow, FIFA's Secretary General Jerome Valcke lamented that Brazil put more value into winning the hosting rights than organising the event.
I will not say that Brazil has started too late, but in a way, I mean, we are not in advance in Brazil. There is a lot of work to deliver. We don't have stadiums, we don't have airports, we don't have a national transportation system in place. And we are what? We are 1 month prior to the pre-draw. We are a few years prior to the Confederations Cup. And we are 3 years prior to the World Cup in Brazil.
South Africa's Football Association will pay $730,000 for the rights to the national football team's popular nickname, Bafana Bafana. The payment will end a long-running dispute with a Johannesburg-based licensing business, which first registered the name almost 20 years ago. The BBC's Piers Edwards explains why South Africa's FA has decided to pay the six-figure sum.
They basically paid because they want to make a lot of money out of marketing items bearing the Bafana Bafana trademark name. The company that they bought the rights off, Stanton Woodrush, never actually said, it's our name, Bafana Bafana, you can't call yourself Bafana Bafana. But where South African FA fell down was that they weren't able to sell items with the Bafana Bafana nickname. Therefore, the question really has to be, why do they do it now? Because they should have done it before the Confederations Cup. They should have done it before the World Cup. They've missed out on millions. And it's amazing. You have to go back to 1993, which is very much the time that South Africa re-entered international football, when Stanton Woodrush took it upon themselves to register the name. And you have to wonder why South African Football Association didn't do it themselves. Anyway, under $1 million, not too much in the grand scheme of things. However, as I said, they have missed the big one. They missed the World Cup. And I think all the world over, though, people will be delighted that such a recognised name as Bafana Bafana will be staying with South African team, and perhaps them threatening to change their nickname was just a way of sort of ramping up the pressure on trying to get a deal with the company that owned the rights.
The Sri Lankan batsman Upal Taranga has been banned for 3 months by the International Cricket Council for breaching their anti-doping code. Here's the BBC's Nishat Ladha.
Taranga was found guilty of testing positive for a banned substance during the recent World Cup. He had not been selected for Sri Lanka's current series in England because of the charge and pleaded guilty after claiming he had ingested the substance in a herbal remedy. While an ICC disciplinary panel accepted he had not intended to take the drug as a performance enhancer, a statement from the sports world body confirmed that the 26-year-old had been handed a three-month ban, which has been backdated from May. Reacting to the decision, Taranga has apologised to fans and followers of Sri Lanka cricket. He says, "I hope my fellow sportsmen will learn from my experience and be more vigilant when taking medical treatment so that their careers do not suffer in the way that mine has." He's free to return to cricket on August the 9th.
Our top sports story again. Tyson Gay, the second fastest man in history, has withdrawn from the semi-finals of the 100 metres at the USA's World Championship Trials. It means he can't now expect it to be selected in that event for the Worlds.